Hi, boys and girls. Clayton from Cell Dweller here. And welcome to the beta sessions of Louder Than Words Commentary Edition, where I'm going to be blabbing for 15 or 20 minutes over the beta sessions demos of the track Louder Than Words, which is part of Chapter 1 of Wish Upon a Black Star, the upcoming full-length Cell Dweller record, should be dropping sometime between now and 2050. Jimmy Rhodes, who many of you know, runs Daily Operations at Fixed, which is my record label and company. He suggested this to me not too long ago, to kind of do a commentary track over the demos, and he thought, from a fan perspective, that people would dig that. I was not really sure. But I hit you guys up, and many of you responded saying, yeah, we'd love to hear you blab for a while. So here I am doing that. You know, I'm kind of a geek that way. You know, I watch the commentary editions of movies that I really dig. You know, like for instance, one that pops out in my mind is when David Fincher is talking us through Fight Club. I watch that commentary. And he points out a moment when Meatloaf, you know, the Robert Paulson character, kind of runs through the doors with a bunch of the Project Mayhem dudes and says, just watch him because his pants were too big for the scene. And he runs out this door and his pants fall down around his ankles and he has to bend over and pick them up. And sure enough, there was something in Fight Club that I had never seen before, and my life was enriched for it. So I'm not sure that your life will be enriched through this or not, but I'm going to hopefully in one shot just kind of talk over these demos and, you know, kind of give you a perspective of what I was thinking or why they sound like they do or where it came from or maybe what I was eating for lunch that day if I can remember it. So the only other struggle I had was kind of how do I produce this? Do I maybe put a big reverb on my voice? Or maybe do this whole presentation like a Cylon or some kind of robot. Nah. Let's just play it straight. Enjoy the commentary. Welcome to a riff that never made it. And actually whole sections, this whole probably 30 or 40 second demo here, there's not much in this that actually made the final cut. This was my my take on this idea originally. Right there. Trying to be new wave. I've had this mindset or this thought process through this entire track from its earliest conception. I wanted this to kind of be new wave. And this was actually before the new wave thing even started coming back a year or two ago. This song's probably 4 or 5 years old. So this was my attempt at kind of mocking up quickly an idea along those lines. Fail! Okay, so different beat in the intro. There's my reactor synth that ultimately made it to the final version. Even this early on, little ideas kind of survived the cuts. Here we go, through some rhythm guitars back there and the beginning of like the progression, the bass line, I can kind of hear that going on. I remember when I came up with this lyric or this idea, this was just a reflection of kind of what I felt in life, kind of like just I'm sick of people talking and not acting. Just do what you say you're gonna do, or don't even say it, just do it. And I was walking through a parking lot in LA with my manager at the time, who still is my manager, but at the time we were walking through a parking lot in LA, I just wanna clarify that. I was like, check this out, and I just sang this melody to him, and he's like, I'd like to hear you flesh that out. And that was the beginnings of Louder Than Words. So that was the intro. You're hearing what I started developing as the intro, and that basic rhythm, starting with that drum, has really lived that way. The demo has been like that for a few years, and only probably 2 weeks before finishing the track that I completely changed the intro. I wanted these big, kind of fuzzy guitars with this portamento sliding up, sliding down, slightly lazy, but I was imagining this being much bigger and meaner. Just a quick mock-up, that was the intent here. A lot of these demos, as you can tell even by the vocals, where the lyrics, for instance, aren't even the final, these were just meant to be mock-ups, just kind of like the idea of the song. Is this gonna work or not? Let's find out. Pre-chorus. You know, number 378, I lost count how many pre-choruses I came up with this song. And then there's that kind of driving, like, bass line progression in the background that's supporting the chorus vocal. This is one of the earlier versions of that. that idea stayed too. Just kind of going back into that riff, and that reactor synth that's in there is still in the intro of the song somewhere. So here comes a different pre-chorus now, another one. Yep, throw that on the scrap heap. New synth in the chorus. I guess I thought I was Tiesto or something, but it didn't really work out. I'm not quite as cool as Tiesto. So, you know, I have lots of these iterations of this chorus with varying synths and things like that that just kind of really never worked. I never really felt like they belonged. So you're going to hear a bunch of these coming up. Bridge, different lyrics, or not the final lyrics. This whole process has been very weird for me. This whole album, Wishpon a Black Star, this record is nothing like anything I've ever done before. I generally write songs, and I'm producing them, and picking the sounds, and mixing them as I'm creating the track. And this was an experiment in doing something completely different. Let's just write demos, like rough. I'm grabbing stock loops and quick sounds, and I'm not really time correcting anything. My guitars are out of tune. My vocals are sadly out of tune. I didn't care. It's just like, does this song work or doesn't it? So yeah, this is the journey. This is the progression of how that kind of all worked. Just kind of mocking ideas, playing them for Grant Moorman, who I asked to co-produce the new record with me, playing them for Tyler, my manager, and just kind of like going, okay, feeling it, not feeling it, and why. And then if I'm in agreement, which most of the times I am, because when you're focused too close to something like this and you're into it too far, it's really hard sometimes to step back and get perspective. So I have a few people around me that I trust, whose opinion I trust. That's the process. So I end up with tons of demos, and this is why it takes me so long to make records, because I just keep spitting out ideas. I could probably create 5 or 6 full-length sample CDs of content based on all the crap I create that ends up never getting used. Hey, it's another synth in the chorus. Tiesto part 2, or is that Psytrance? I don't even know what I was going for. Again, the sound itself kind of sucks nads, but that really wasn't the intention. I wasn't going for the sound. I was grabbing the first thing that was in the world of what I was thinking, programming out an idea and seeing if it would stick, which it did not. Okay, this is where I changed up some drums. Got rid of the demo drums and started going for a little bit of a tighter kit. This still was not the final. This was just more of a mock-up so I can hear things a little more cleaned up. Wow. Those are some spectacular vocal takes. This is right after I wrote the lyrics. So as I'm listening to this, I'm remembering. I wrote the lyrics and this was step up to the mic, one shot. You need to now take the melody you wrote and actually sing the right words so we can listen to that and kind of go, yeah, this is working. I knew in advance, too, that I was not going to just sing these vocals and do my final performances and leave them as was. I felt like I wanted this vocal to be really glitched out and a lot of edits. And sadly, I did all that work and I glitched these things out and spent days just bouncing various options and editing them together. And of course, as it many times happens in mix down, you kind of got to start making cuts because there's just too much going on. I've always been guilty of that. Any of you who know any of my own history and have been following me for any length of time know that I put more things in a mix than should be in there. And that's why you can listen to a song at least 2 or 3 times before getting bored, because every time you listen over those 2 or 3 times, you hear something different. So this album, I'm trying to do something a little different where I'm not just trying to cram everything in and trying to be an adult about it and pull out the stuff that might be a little too busy. So no harmony yet. Actually, an interesting story about the harmony, or at least interesting to me. That harmony that I have in the verses is really just a copy of my main vocal that I took into Melodyne, which I absolutely love, that plugin. I know there's big rave going on right now about Auto-Tune, but I haven't used Auto-Tune in years. In fact, I just deleted the plugin. I don't even ever use it. So I took it into Melodyne and completely rewrote harmony for that vocal. So you're hearing a harmony in the verses, both verses of the song, and they're basically the same exact vocal take that I just kind of manipulated.
Can you do that? Can you do that and still be cool?
I don't know. Sounds cool to me. Okay, so now I'm hearing final vocals, I think. If we hear a harmony here, I think this is the final vocal. There it is. So this is after doing many takes of a vocal and then copying together the performance I wanted. Yeah, there's a mock-up of the pre-chorus. I think the instruments are still all in demo mode here. Yeah, this is all... Nothing has been recut. These are all still my demo. Demo bass, demo guitars, demo synths. No effects on the vocal. So those harmonies that are coming in there, again, a week or two before final mix, I scrapped them. They sat there for, I don't know how long, a year or so, and I was like, these are whoopee. So I just threw up a mic in my studio and just retracked those harmonies, which is what ended up in the final mix. In fact, the low octave that's in the chorus too, I just felt was way too puss, so I just kind of recut it. I wanted to give the vocal a little more balls. Not sure if I succeeded, but you know what, in my mind, if I think I succeeded, it's a good day. I can sleep peacefully. Or not sleep peacefully, how about that? That's more realistic. Okay, this is the bridge and I don't know what's going on here. Those are live drums that I cut. I just threw a mic up in front of a kit in the middle of an empty room just to hear what they would sound like. I had my little Frankie Goes to Hollywood synth back there. Right there. It's kind of my relax, you know, kind of little 80s thing that I knew wasn't going to work, but I just wanted to feel like I was dancing in a video with a bunch of, you know, strobe lights and stuff. If you've ever seen the Relax video, I wouldn't recommend it. Oh, it's new drums in the intro. So here's that, you know, the demo. I just grabbed any drums. This is where I started tweaking out the intro drums and going, yeah, I want this to sound more like this. And these ultimately got scrapped too. So I ended up distorting these drums later on and then got rid of them completely. Now we're into house land. So Grant and I worked on kick and snare sounds here, and then I've always felt like I wanted this to have a little more of a groove to it, so I decided to try a different quantization than I normally do, and I brought it into house land. I just was listening to a bunch of electro house at the time, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do a swing on this. So I started programming out some electro house, in my mind at least, electro house type rhythms that ended up making it to the final version, but they're so buried that I think it's more insinuated than actually a conscientious, like, oh, that's a really cool house loop. But it was cool for a while to call this my house metal track. That's what I was telling everyone, this is my house metal track. I'm watching, listening. And then I've got that same swing in the chorus, which, again, close to mix down, I started making these critical decisions, and I decided I didn't like that swing there, so I lessened the swing in the chorus. There's still some swing now in the final chorus, but I lessened it so it didn't feel as... I didn't really want this to feel like a New Jack Swing track, you know? Yeah, you get to hear more of the vocal edits in there too. This is when I started tweaking out the vocals, and they ended up, again, not making the final cut. But I am, I'm actually putting up the full edited vocal in the remix pack at fixedremix.com for remixers to use and abuse. So the edited vocal might make its appearance somewhere in somebody's mix someday. I can only hope. Put a lot of work into it. Or at least I want you to think so. There you go. I distorted that intro drum now, that one that we heard one or two demos ago. I wanted it to sound a little rattier, so I kind of ran it through Camel Fat and a couple of other plugs. And there was my intro. I started fleshing out how I wanted this thing to build. I had a really generic, you know, kind of build where you start doubling the tempo and then you just turn it into a really fast roll and then it pays off. Here is when I actually started pulling the intro apart. Bass. So I started doing a sidechain bass here, just trying to remember what it is. I know one of them is in contact, and then I dialed in the sound of my Moog Voyager. And again, you know, here's the second half of the verse, and we've got these harmonies and these sidechain basses and these guitars, and there's just not enough room for everything, so in mix down, some of this stuff kind of went bye-bye. And then there's my little guitar counter melody for the chorus. Again, I felt like I needed something more just to fill in the blanks in the chorus. It was just too empty. And the more stuff I add, the more the bass line that I originally based this song on disappeared. So that kind of faded into the background. I am currently working on a 1984 remix of this track, though, where I really want to just go completely new wave with this song, because I've felt that from the beginning, and I just feel like I have to like exercise that. I don't want to call it a demon, because I don't want to say 1984 really represents a demon, but maybe to some people, maybe George Orwell was right. So somewhere along the way, I'm going to finish this 1984 remix and really push that, push the new wave angle. This is also pre-live drums. I'm just realizing I have some sounds in there that I knew I was temping in as kind of a live hat. No one else would think that, but I remember what I was thinking when I did it. This was an alt intro. So this is almost at the end of the Louder Than Words beta sessions. But I remember trying to come up with some kind of intro and make this more interesting, and that was one idea. Tell you what, you can take the beta sessions tracks and probably edit together your own version of the song, and maybe it'll even be better than mine. Go for it. All right, I think I've blabbed enough. I'm out.